All right, let's get started. According to my watch, it's 6:35. That's about time we like to kick off. So let's pray, why don't we? Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here. Thank you for health. Thank you for the good news that we have, that Christ has died for us and rose from the dead. And thank you for the opportunity we have to sharpen ourselves as instruments in your hands. I pray you'd guide our time tonight. In Christ's name, amen. So this session is going to be a bit of a review for some of you. For others, it's going to be an opportunity to learn the Bridge to Life presentation. Briarwood did that. Was that 2010, Benny, roughly? Around 2010. They offered several training courses on that, some Saturday, some Sunday schools, different options. And so a lot of people had a chance to do that. And some people have wondered, why would we wait till week six of this course to teach the Bridge to Life, since that's the tool that we have as a church for presenting the gospel? And it certainly is not because we think it's less important. No, not at all. But because this approach that we're trying to teach here in this course assumes that some people just aren't quite ready to hear that. Until we have a few conversations and answer a few of their questions and deal with some of the issues that they may have struggled with. And so there's an appropriate time. You know, last week we talked about using discernment. There's an appropriate time to be able to share the gospel with them. And so we wanted to start off by saying, how can we get into conversations more easily? Going right for the jugular and going right into a gospel presentation is not nearly as easy as just having a conversation with a person and seeing where it goes. And so that was the reason that we wanted to start off with. First, how do we get into spiritual conversations, and then figuring out a little bit of discernment, and then getting into the gospel when it seems appropriate. So the fact that this is week six of our course does not imply that you do this on the sixth time you talk to a person. Okay? There's no right time. Sometimes you may actually share the Bridge to Life or some other form of the gospel the first time you meet a person. But what we're saying is, let's say you do that. Then what? What if they don't receive Christ? Do you just write them off? No, you continue having discussions with them like we're talking about. So sometimes you may share with them at the beginning. Sometimes you may have two or three conversations before you do it. Sometimes you might have 10 or 12. And one of the things that I've discovered over the years is sometimes if I'm having a number of conversations with a person of a spiritual nature, what is going to come out in my answering some of their questions and dealing with some of the issues that they raise is we're going to be talking about gospel truths. And so we've already talked about the fact that mankind is sinful. And so, yes, part of a gospel presentation is to talk about the sinfulness of man. But we've already covered that in a conversation. And so sometimes the gospel has been covered piecemeal, bit by bit, through conversations we've had with a person. And now what we're doing here is we're just sort of giving a succinct overview of the whole thing together. And so there's different ways that it comes about. But I've also found that a lot of people that I've talked to, we've had these gospel conversations over a period of months and sometimes a couple of years. And so these conversations just keep going, and I answer questions and we talk about this and I point them to different scriptures. And eventually one day they just call me up and say, I became a Christian. And I said, well, wait a minute, I didn't do the Bridge to Life yet. No, I don't say that. In other words, they've understood the gospel just through conversations. And when do they receive Christ? When they're ready, when God has worked on them in his sovereign way. And so it's not always that I even have to do this, but it is a great way to make the gospel clear to people in a very succinct way. So I hope that helps, gives you a little bit of a perspective on what we're talking about. And we've also been saying all along, is if you go back to this Rainer scale that we've talked about, is that this particular presentation or any presentation of the gospel usually works better for people who are in the U1 and U2 category, maybe U3 as well. But when you get people that are U4 and U5, or as Nathan told us, his one friend was like a U8 or 10 or something, that, you know, sharing the gospel with them can just run them off at times because that's what they're expecting. I even had a conversation recently with someone who started trying to share some gospel truths with a person. And you know what her comment to him was? Well, at least you're the nicest person I've ever talked to who's tried to convert me. She didn't like the fact that he was trying to convert her. She was a Hindu. But she said, at least you're the nicest person that I've ever dealt with on this. And so he realized he kind of went a little bit too fast there in trying to persuade her too early on. Really, it was in the first conversation, even though it was a very long one. So sometimes we just got to be careful. All right, let me ask this question. How many of you went through the Bridge to Life training at some point in the past when Briarwood did it? Let's just see. Just a few of you, okay? How many of you have been through it, have actually used it in sharing with someone? All right. How many of you use it regularly? Okay, that's fine. All right, that just helps to have a little bit of understanding. It would seem like most people here have not used it or even been through the training. So let me just say that what we're going to do tonight is a one-time brief training. Yes, sir. That's right, because we're not talking about that. We're talking about Bridge to Life. Okay. So there is a whole course that takes place on Wednesday nights called Bridge to Life. And you can go through that, and it's 12, 13 weeks, something like that. And then you can do what we're going to do in one session tonight. You can get a thorough teaching on how to do it. Okay, so we're really giving you an overview. When we put this together, we thought most of the people would maybe have already done it, but the couple times we've talked this, we realized that that's not the case. Most of the people haven't. So we recognize we're just giving you an overview in this particular session, but hopefully it will help you, and maybe some of you will want to go and do that. So objectives for tonight: to learn how to use the Bridge to Life, and also a little bit about discernment about when to use it. And then second, ways to get into the Bridge to Life. So let's start there. If you were to go through the Bridge to Life training, you would be given a lot more thorough training on this. We're going to go through this really quickly. And let me just say this, you don't need to write any of this down. I'm going to put a lot of stuff up there, like these questions right here. Don't bother, because we're going to give them all to you in a little yellow booklet like this. It's got everything of substance that I go over with tonight, except maybe a story or two I tell. Everything else that's of substance is going to be in this. So what we'd rather you do is just listen to understand the process. And don't worry about writing anything down, because we're going to give it all to you. Okay? All right. So there are different ways to get into it. And here's one of them. You've been talking to a person. You could say, do you believe in heaven? Listen to what they have to say. How do you think a person gets there? And then you could say, could I share with you one verse from the Bible that explains how you can go to heaven? So it's a very simple approach. All right. Here's another one. Do you know for certain that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? That's one of the old EE diagnostic questions. And so you can ask them that. And most people will say no. Then you'd say, could I share with you one verse from the Bible that explains how you could know that you're going to heaven? All right. Here's another one. Whoops. Too far. If you were standing before God and he asked you, why should I let you in heaven? What would you say? That's another one of the EE diagnostic questions. And then again, you say, could I share with you one verse from the Bible that explains the answer to that question? So these are all simple ways to get into it. I would actually suggest myself that, let's just go back before we get to that one. I would suggest that in light of what we've been talking about in the last 5 weeks, this wouldn't be the way I would lead with most people in the very first time I meet them to say one of these questions. That's the more old style direct approach, where we used to just go knock on a door, go up to a person on the beach or whatever and ask them one of those questions. But you can still use those questions after you've been having a discussion with a person, the kind of discussions we've been talking about. You're having a discussion, and then you can just say, hey, let me ask you a question. And you can ask them one of these questions. All right. Here's another one. On a scale of 1 to 10, how fulfilling would you say your life is? And you've got to listen. They might talk a long time on that. And then let's say they say it's a 4. Well, then what makes it a 4? Would it change in either direction if God were in your life? And then can I share with you one verse? The whole idea of the one verse evangelism is a lot of people are kind of gun shy about thinking that someone's going to give them an hour lecture that's going to use 27 Bible verses. And you're saying, I just want to share with you one verse that gives you the essence of what the Bible's message is about. And so it's not too overwhelming for people. Now, based on what we've been saying in this course, look at this particular question here. On a scale of 1 to 10, how fulfilling would you say your life is? Based on what I've been saying, when do you think would be a good time to ask a question like that? Would it be the first thing you'd ask them in 5 minutes into the conversation? Why not? You don't know them, and it's a pretty personal question, isn't it? So, again, this would be a good question to get into the gospel, the Bridge to Life, with them, but maybe after you've established some rapport with them and had some other conversation. But I'll leave that to you. That's just my suggestion. Here's another one. Many people think the Bible is a confusing book. I found one simple verse that summarizes the message of the Bible. Would it be all right if I shared it with you? So again, those are all just simple ways to try to get into the gospel presentation with a person. All right. So what about this one? Following up from your previous conversations that you've been having by connecting those conversations to the verse you want to share with them. All right. So in other words, this particular verse. So what we're saying here is we've been talking about developing a mindset, not a method to memorize, but a mindset of having a lifestyle of having spiritual conversations with people and then seeing where it goes. And these would be people that we know, or it would be people, I don't know why that's doing that, people that we know or people that we see on a regular basis or would have a chance to develop a relationship with. Okay? So tonight, even though we're talking about sharing the gospel, let's don't forget about all the stuff that we've done up to now. Let's put it in the context of, we've been having a discussion with a person for some weeks or months or years, whatever, and now we think the time is right to share the gospel. How would we bridge from the conversations that we've been having with them to actually sharing the gospel? So I'd like you to think about that. Last week we talked about raising the curiosity of people by asking questions about their beliefs. But what if they don't have any curiosity about spiritual things? We're trying to ask them and they have no curiosity about it at all, no interest in spiritual matters. What do we do? Yeah. If they're not interested, they're not interested. The most common comment that we get when we are sharing the gospel in the Dominican Republic on our mission trips is we ask people if they would like to consider becoming a Christian, and they say, "I'm not ready." And it really frustrates our students, and that because they want to see people come to Christ. And so they say to me, "Why do people say I'm not ready?" And I can answer that question. Because they're not ready. When they say I'm not ready, they're not ready. And I remember on a dental mission trip, I kept telling people this, and they got tired of hearing me say they're not ready. When they're ready, it'll be obvious. So on the third day of our trip, we did a clinic at a particular location, and I usually pay close attention to who comes through, the patients that come through, and try to make sure everyone gets over to where I'm in the little evangelism station teaching students how to talk to people. And somehow this one day, a guy, I saw him at one point in the day, but I never had a chance to talk to him. I don't know what happened, but somehow I didn't get to talk to him. But the next morning, he was right there waiting when we arrived at the same place to do another dental clinic. And he made sure that he came right over to where we were sitting. And he sat down because he also knew that he missed our station the day before. All he did was have a tooth pulled, and he came back to have another tooth pulled. And so he came and sat down. And so I, through the translator, I said to him, "You know, it's nice to meet you, and we're here for two reasons. One is to take care of your teeth. The other is to take care of your spiritual life." And before I could say anything else, he starts rattling on in Spanish with the translator. And he went on for, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes, which is a long monologue. And the translator's listening and making a few uh-huh's comments, you know. And eventually, when he finished, the translator turns to me and says, "He's ready to receive Christ." I said, we hadn't said anything to him. And he's not. What he's just been telling me is that last week, he was down in the capital, which was not far from where we were. And he was sitting on a wall, brick wall, and he heard these people talking. And they were talking about God. So he very subtly scooted over near them so he could overhear their conversation. And he heard them talking about how he could have eternal life. And he realizes that's what he needs. But he was embarrassed to go butt into their conversation. So he didn't get a chance to talk to us yesterday. So he made sure he got here to be able to talk to us today. And he's ready. So see, when people are ready, they're ready. It's not what we do. God is working. And so we need to keep that in mind as we go about this. Is if people are not interested, don't force it. Because when we force it and people don't want to talk about it because they're not interested, our Rainer scale, we go back to the Rainer scale. What did we say the Rainer scale was? What is this thing I always tell you we want to do on the Rainer scale? We first identify where the person is and then what? Move them to the right. When we force people to listen that don't want to listen, we move them to the left. And that's not where the direction we want them to go, right? So we want to be careful about that, that we're not doing that. All right, let's go back to where we were. Here we go. All right, so having said all that, let's think about for a moment some of the type of conversations where we might transition from having a conversation to a person to actually wanting to share the gospel or being able to share the gospel. Let's take a controversial one. Let's say that I'm having a discussion with someone about abortion, and they're giving their view, and I'm sharing the biblical view about the sanctity of life. And so at some point in the discussion, when it seems appropriate, I might say, I'm so glad that God values me because he created me in his image. And he doesn't value me and love me because of how smart I am or what I've accomplished. He just loves me because I'm a human being created by him in his image. In fact, I made that statement in a talk I was giving at UAB at the med school a couple of months ago. And a couple of students came up afterwards and said, I never thought about that. That is wonderful, isn't it? That God values us just because we're made in his image. And I thought, how can you not know that? I mean, we started learning that in Sunday school when I was a kid, but some people haven't been to Sunday school. So it's a profound statement to make to them. And so I would make a statement like that, and then I would just wait and see how they responded to it. But let's say they respond with interest and they would like to know more. Then I might say something like, you know, my views on this controversial subject of abortion come from the Bible. And even though it talks about a lot of issues, some of which we've discussed, the big message of the Bible is not about those issues. It's really about our relationship to God. And there's one verse in the Bible that kind of summarizes how we can have a relationship to God. Could I share it with you? So you see, we've been talking about some issue, and it could be something even very controversial, but then we can move right into sharing, going into the gospel with them, if it seems appropriate, if their interest is there. Or maybe we're talking to a person and we actually ask those three questions that we gave, you know, what's the problem of the world and how do we fix it and how do we determine right and wrong and truth, all those things. And we've been talking about them. We may have talked about them once, two times, three times, whatever. We've been talking about those kind of issues. And sometimes people will say, well, I'd like to know what you think about this. You've been asking my opinion. What do you think? What do you think is the problem of the world? And I could say, well, I think the root cause of the problems in the world is what's happening on the inside of men and women. And that is that we're sinners. We want our own way. We want to do things our way. And we tend to mess things up. And, you know, let's say we've been talking about all the problems with messed up relationships in our country. I might say, you know, the reason I think that there's messed up relationships on a personal level, including marriage, is because of the sinfulness of mankind. And the reason we have problems on a societal level is, again, because of selfishness, self-centeredness, people wanting their own way, that sort of thing. But you know what? I also believe the Bible has a fix for the problem. And I could share one Bible verse with you that explains that. Could I share that with you? So you see how we can transition from the kind of conversations we're having into something else. I was talking to a man one time, and I asked him that first question, what do you think is the biggest problem in the world? And he said, drugs. Now, how would you respond to that? Well, there's a lot of ways you could respond to it, but let's say that we've already got a good relationship, and I asked him that question, and he says, drugs. I might say something like, well, you know, drugs are a really big problem. Why do you think people abuse drugs? So now I'm on his wavelength. I'm not necessarily agreeing with him. That's the biggest problem. But I'm following the discussion where he's at. Well, why do you think people abuse drugs? What are they trying to achieve when they get into drugs? And we might talk about people wanting meaning or purpose or happiness or those sort of things. Then I could say, you know what? I think people are searching for meaning and purpose in life. And Jesus promises to give that to us. Could I share with you one Bible verse that tells what's the problem in the world and how we fix it? It's all in one Bible verse. So you see, there's innumerable ways that you can get around to getting to the gospel with people. There's not just one day. Okay. So with all that as a bit of introduction, and there's something going on with my computer here. All right. Here's our key verse. It's in your notes at the bottom of your page in your booklet. You'll see that. And Benny, do you have those cards? What we're going to do is I'm going to give you a demonstration of how you can share this, and then we're going to have you pair up. I'd rather you pair up with somebody who's not your spouse and someone of the same sex if possible, but I'll leave that to you. But you know, you can do it however you want. But I'm going to do a portion of the presentation, and then I'm going to have you practice it with each other. Then I'm going to do another portion, and have you practice it. And then another portion, you got the idea? And let me say this. The key questions and things that I'm going to be using in my demo are all in this yellow sheet that I'm going to give you. So you need to write them. You don't need to write them down. Okay? Just sort of pay attention. But keep in mind, when you do your practice, you're not going to have the yellow sheet. So sort of pay attention and keep in mind that when you're actually sharing the gospel with a person, if you don't ask the question exactly the way I do, there's no way they can go to heaven. Okay, I'm glad you laughed. If you didn't, we've had a big miscommunication for the last 5 weeks. All right, so you can get it all wrong, but if God's at work, He'll bring people to faith in Christ. Okay, so Nathan is going to come up and be my demo partner here. And one of the things you're going to need when you get to it is a pen. And we've got a whole bag of pens here. So if you don't have a pen, we'll be glad to give you a pen. But let's start off by showing you a way that we might do it. Well, let's look at the next slide here first. Okay. This is a bit of an overview. In this presentation, it's one verse, but there's 11 key words. And if you look in your book, you'll see that the 11 key words have a box around them. You see that? The wages of sin is death. Wages, sin, and death have boxes around them. So all the key words are marked that way in your little booklet. All right? Page 14. Thank you. Now, the other thing is, for each of those key words, we have a key question that we're going to ask in part of our dialogue with a person. And that's nice because in our whole way of teaching up to now, we've been talking about having questions, right? Having a dialogue. And we're going to make this into a dialogue. We're going to ask questions, let the person respond, and then move on from there. Okay? There's one exception which we'll get to when we get to it. All right? And so one of the things that we would suggest is that you, if you haven't memorized this particular Bible verse, Romans 6:23, that you either memorize it or put it on your phone or at least know the reference. Because if you've got access to a Bible on your phone or a Bible with you, you don't have to have the verse memorized. You just have to know the reference where to go to. And then we would suggest that you actually write it down just as it is on the right side of the page up there, that you write it down like that. And then after you've written it down, then you start into the presentation and the dialogue with the person. Okay? So having said all of that, let me see if there's anything else I was supposed to say before we jump into things. Okay, yes, there is. It says there, use their answers whenever possible. We're going to ask them questions, but they have not necessarily been studying the Westminster Confession of Faith to prepare for this conversation. So their answers may not be exactly theologically precise, but they may say things that are sort of on the right track. And if possible, unless it's just way out in left field and totally wrong, we can sometimes use their wording in the conversation. Does that make sense? Just so they understand that we're listening to them, that we're not just ignoring what they have to say. All right? Anything else I was supposed to say to start this off, Benny? He keeps me honest here. Okay, we need a mic, don't we? Yeah. Okay. And this is one of those unrehearsed dialogues, so I have no idea what Nathan's going to do to me here.
And I've never heard the Bridge to Life.
What?
PowerPoint copy.
Yeah. Actually, I do. Yeah, it's in here somewhere, Benny. There we go. Just take that whole thing. It's in the back. All right. Okay. Test that thing out. Make sure it's working.
Yep.
Okay, it's working. All right, good. All right, so I've already said, we've already transitioned, we've had our conversation, I told him I want to share one verse with him, I've written it down. Okay, Nathan, just move over here because I'm going to be showing you this, let me just get this out of the way, I'm going to be showing you this this diagram here. So, okay, so Nathan, let's look at this. It says here, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so notice, I'm going to put a box around this, wages, that's a key word here, and I'm going to write it down here to the left. And I'm going to put a box around it there. So, what are wages? What do you think of when you think of wages?
My paycheck.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's what you get paid for work. What would you think about a boss who didn't pay you for the work you did?
I don't think I'd go to work anymore.
Yeah, it's good. It'd be very unjust. All right. Let's look at the next key word, and that is sin. I'll put a little box around it, and I'm going to put it down here as well. So what I'm doing is I'm writing it on the left. Benny, show the next slide. All right, there we go. So you see I wrote wages to the left, and then I wrote sin. All right, so Nathan, what is sin?
I think I've heard that's like when you do something wrong.
Okay, you do something wrong. Let's unpack that a little bit. Wrong towards who? Your wife, your boss, your dog?
Any of those, I think, would be sin. If I did something bad to my wife, that'd
yeah,
be...
that's right.
I think that'd be sin.
And is that the limit? What is there any other person that sin is related to?
Anyone here on earth and in heaven.
Yeah, that's right. So, yes, we can sin against other people, but ultimately the worst thing about sin is it's sin against God. And it usually involves doing the wrong thing, meaning disobeying Him, not doing what He's told us to do. Okay, let's look at the next key word here, and that's death. Is your thing working yet, Benny? Nope. Okay. All right. So we put death down there. Okay, so what do you think of when you think of death?
I think of a graveyard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tombstones. A few family members.
Yeah. What do you think of if a beloved family member dies? What comes to mind?
That it's sad. Mm-hmm. That funeral.
Mm-hmm.
That afterlife.
Yeah. What about your communication with them from now on?
That it's ended.
Yeah, it's ended. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a separation now. You can't communicate with them anymore. That's what's sad about death. And so, you know, the point is this: if we were to summarize, what we're talking about here, is that God is holy and just, and we have sinned against Him. We've disobeyed Him in a lot of ways. We've done things wrong towards Him and towards other people, as you said. And so what we have earned by that, that's what wages is, we've earned death. In other words, a separation from God Himself. That's the result of it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's bad news, isn't it? All right.
Yeah.
Then let's put this other key word down here, and that's this word but. And I'm going to put it right over here because God hasn't left us in the lurch, you might say. And another thing I want to do at this point is I want to draw these two lines here. Man, that thing's not working, is it, Benny? All right, so there we go. So I put in the word but, and then I drew the two cliffs. You got it? All right. So we're going to stop right there and for the moment. And what you're going to do is you're going to pair up and you're going to practice just that much. And don't worry about the fact that you don't have all the questions. Just do the best you can. Do what comes natural. Ask whatever seems to work. So practice that. I'll give you about 5 minutes. So one person be the Christian, the other person be the non-Christian, and then after you've gotten to that far, switch around so both of you get to do both roles. Okay? All right. How are we doing? Is there each person had a chance to go through that bit? Okay. Why don't you just stay where you are, because we're gonna continue on with that. And Nathan, why don't you come on up here and let's pick up where we left off. All right. So if you remember, the last thing we did is I said but, and I wrote but, and I drew the two cliffs in there. Okay? Okay. So, Nathan, let's look at the next key word, and that is gift. And let's write it right over here on this part of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, gift. Okay. Let me just stop for a second here. One of the things we're going to do at this point is, as we go through these keywords, we're going to keep referring back to their corresponding word on the other side. Does that make sense? Okay. So, Nathan, what's the difference between a gift and wages?
I didn't earn a gift.
Yeah. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. That's a very,
I didn't
very
pay for any of those gifts Christmas morning.
Yeah, that's very succinct. That's good. All right. So it's very different in that it's free. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever had a situation where something appeared to be a gift, but turned out not to be?
Most sales pitches.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking of. Telemarketers.
Yeah.
You know, you got a free cruise. It's only going to cost you $700.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a reason I hang up now.
Yeah, that's right. So in other words, in order to really be a gift, It's got to actually be free, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It can't be a hidden payment or something like that. Okay.
You don't really see those much.
Yeah. We'd like to. Well, I'm going to tell you about one right now. So the next key word is God. And I'm going to put that right here. And so the thing about this is that God is not like sin. God is perfect and holy in every way. He's never sinned. There's nothing about him that's sinful in any way. So he is a perfect judge. The Bible actually calls God a judge. And so think about a judge. If a person was standing before him who was guilty and the judge just waved it off and let him go free and even gave him some money to go, what would you think about that judge?
I wouldn't think he was a very good judge.
No, he wouldn't be a very just judge, would he? And in a similar way, God loves us and he has a gift for us, but he's also just. He's a just judge. Well, let's go on to the next word. And let me just ask you this. What's the opposite of death?
Life.
Life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so in this case, our key word is eternal life. So we'll write that down here, eternal life. All right. So what do you think of when you think of eternal life?
I'd say heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Usually clouds floating in the air.
Yeah. That's the misconception of what heaven is, but that's what people think. So I understand that. But, you know, here's the thing. What we're trying to say here is that God has a gift for us, and that gift is eternal life. It's just the opposite of what we see over here, that it's all about what we've done. Because of our sin, we've earned death or separation from God. But what we see here is that God has a gift for us, which is eternal life. And that's good news. But the question is I have for you is, how do we go from this side of the cliff over to this side? How do we go from being, you know, under the condemnation of death into a relationship with God, which is something that lasts forever, of life? How do we do that? How do we get there?
Well, about the only other words left here are Jesus Christ.
They are good. You're paying attention. That's really good. And we'll get to that in just a minute. All right. So now it's y'all's turn to practice that part. All right. Is everybody done? Done with this? The last guy didn't. He was a reprobate. All right, can we move on? All right, let's go on to the next stage. So we just ended a moment ago, and I asked Nathan, how do we move from the left side to the right side? And he rightly pointed out that it was through Christ Jesus. Okay, so Nathan, I tell you what I want to do here. I'm going to draw something that's like a bridge between these two cliffs. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to draw a cross here. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to write Christ Jesus, because he died on the cross. And the thing is, when he died on that cross, God put on him what we deserved. In other words, he paid the price for our sin. The wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. Jesus took the death that we deserved. And he didn't just die. He also rose from the dead. And that proves that he was who he really said that he was. So the next question then would be, how? Well, let's put it like this. In order for Jesus' death to really become the payment for our sins. In other words, it's not just a blanket payment for every person's sin that's ever lived. It's only for certain people. Okay? And so how does his death become the payment for our sins? Thought about that? Well, there's one more word that we haven't used, is there? And that's the word Lord. And so I'm going to put that right here. And it's when we submit to Jesus as our Lord. What is a Lord? Let's just define it. What is it?
Someone you're subject to.
Yeah, that's a ruler, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you're subject to them. And so when we choose to submit ourselves to Jesus, become subject to him as our Lord, that's when his death as a payment for our sins becomes our own. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a step that we have to take, that we have to do that. Okay, and we're going to, well, let me ask this. Okay, how do we submit to Jesus then?
That do right, that you go to church.
That's what most people would think. Let me show you what it is. And I'm not much of an artist, so let your imagination soar, but I'm going to draw a little stick man over here. Okay? And, you know, what we've been saying is that all of us we deserve death because of our sin. That's actually the way we're all born. We're all born sinners. And then we continue to sin to prove that we are. And so the way we cross from this side to this side is the first thing we do is we confess. Let me just write that in there. We confess. That is, we confess that we're sinners and that we deserve death. We acknowledge that to God. But then the second thing over here on the other side is we surrender to Him. That is, we acknowledge Him as our Lord and that we want His death to be the payment for our sin. And when we do that, the Bible says, draw an arrow here, we cross from death to life. Okay? Let's stop there. You guys pick it up and do the same thing. I'm not going to give you quite as long for this one because it's shorter. How we doing? Are we ready to move on? Okay, let's go into the last little segment here. All right, Nathan, when does a gift become a gift to you?
Once I've received it.
Yeah, that's right. Notice I could offer you this watch. It's actually not worth much, but I could offer you this watch. But if I'm offering it and you're trying to walk off and you don't take it, it doesn't become yours. So we have to actually receive the gift of eternal life that God is offering us. So let me ask you a question. Now that we've looked at this diagram, where would you place yourself on this diagram right now?
Well, I would say I'm over here with the stick figure.
Okay, on the left. All right. And where would you like to be?
Well, this sounds pretty good over here.
Okay. Well, in light of what we've been talking about, what would you need to do to go from here to here?
That be confessing Jesus as Lord and surrendering to Him.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it's all about. Would you like to do that?
Mm-hmm.
When do you think would be a good time to do it?
Now?
Yeah, sooner the better, huh?
Yeah.
That's a question I like to ask people. Rather than saying, do you want to do this now? I like to say, when would you like to do this? Because if they've really got it, most of them are going to say, the sooner the better, or I better do it now, you know, because if they really get it, rather than saying, please do this now, because sometimes people will just do what you want them to do just to get rid of you if they don't really, literally, especially in foreign countries, and when they don't really mean it. And so I just like to ask the question, when do you think would be a good time to do this? And let's see how they respond, okay? All right. So, you know what we could do, Nathan, is I could pray a sample prayer. God's more concerned with your heart, what you really think, than He is with the actual words. But I could pray a prayer, and you could just pray after me and ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Would you like to do that?
Sure.
Okay. Why don't we do that right now? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I need you.
Lord Jesus, I need you.
I know that I have disobeyed you and sinned against you in many ways.
I know that I've disobeyed you and sinned against you in many ways.
And therefore I deserve death.
And I deserve death.
But thank you that you died for my sins on the cross.
Thank you for dying for my sins on the cross.
And now I ask you to come into my life.
Come into my life.
Forgive my sins.
Forgive my sins.
And to make me the kind of person you want me to be.
And make me the kind of person you want me to be.
I submit to you as my Lord.
I submit to you as my Lord.
And ask you to show me your ways.
And ask you to show me your ways.
In your name I pray.
In your name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, Nathan, you know, once we do something like that, God promises that He will come into our lives and He will change us. But it's like birth is a process. You know, you start off as a little baby and you have to get nourishment and to grow. In the spiritual realm, it's the same thing. You become a Christian, it's like a spiritual baby, and you need to grow. And the nourishment for a Christian is God's Word, the Bible.
Okay.
Do you have a Bible?
I do.
You do? Okay. Well, I'd like to encourage you to turn to the New Testament and read the Gospel of John. It's the fourth book of the New Testament.
Okay.
Not very long. It's 21 chapters. You read a chapter a day, you'll finish it in 3 weeks. And just ask God to make Himself more clear to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right. Y'all want to pick up and do that part? We're just about done for tonight. Okay, let's bring it together. We're a bit over time. Sorry. One of the things I will say about this is when you want to lead a person in prayer, remember, it's as I said to Nathan in the demo, it's not the exact words that are important. I heard a guy preach a great message one time on the story of the guy that went up to the two guys that went up to the temple to pray. One was the Pharisee and one was the tax collector. And if you understand that story, at the end of the story, the tax collector says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He was converted that day. That's a pretty simple prayer, you know. if we understand what we're, what it's all about. And God is not so concerned with our words, but one, and so you can have a memorized prayer. You can use the one that's in the booklet we're going to give you, or you can use one from some other presentation. But another thing you can simply do is to just think through what you've just been sharing with them in John 6:23, and just sort of talk through that again. You know, the wages of sin is death. That's what I deserve. You're giving me a free gift. I receive it. You know, and you can just sort of think through that verse in your prayer. It's not magic. All right. You've got an assignment in your book, and that is to try to share the Bridge to Life with someone. And it could be someone that you've already had some conversations with. If you get a chance to do that, that'd be fantastic. If you don't, think that it's appropriate yet in your, where you're at with your conversation with them, then wait till you think it is. But if you have a chance to do that this week, that'd be wonderful. We have another booklet, another handout for you. And this is simply a summary of what we went through tonight. Again, you don't have to use the questions, the illustrations, etc., that are in here, some of which I used, some of which I didn't, but they're great ones. And if you want to learn the ones that are in the little yellow booklet, that would be great. It'd be a great way of doing it. Our time is up, but if you got questions, I'll hang around. I'll be glad to answer them. Otherwise, next week's the last session, so come back and we'll tie things up, give you some answer some of the questions that have come up. And then another thing is to give you some information of what you can do to learn more about this. We feel like all we've done is introduce you to this whole way of ministering to people. But we're going to tell you about some other resources that you can use to further your training. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and giving us the opportunity to share this good news. And I do pray that you would guide us to people that want to know about Jesus, and that we would have opportunities to share with them in the very near future. I pray in His name. Amen.